Hey, good evening. This is Robert Anthony, also known as Robert Schuller, and I want to welcome you tonight to The Call. It happens to be the 15th, and if it's the 15th and it is 6 p.m. Pacific time, what is it, Donna?
It's time for The Call.
It's time for The Call, which is part of the Robert Schuller Ministries Church with No Walls. Now, Donna and I look forward to this every month. We really, really do. This is one of the highlights of our month, is being able to talk with all of you and be able to share what we're doing and be able to have this time of worship together, because this is really a church service. Even though we don't sing, we do have a little music before, and I guess we could lead out with some music, but other than that, that's the only thing which keeps it from being a pure worship service, because we have all the other ingredients. We pray. We read scripture. We have a little message. We actually have interviews from time to time, or testimonies, if you want to keep with the church lingo. And so this is really a wonderful time for us to be able to share with you God's plan for our ministry and to encourage you with the Word of God and with uplifting messages. And so just to help us and help you as we go through this thing called life.
And good evening. This is Donna Schuller. It's so great. I can't believe it's the 15th again.
I know. Every month.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now. Almost exactly 2.5 years.
Ooh,
and we
awesome.
Love doing this. We are with you on the 15th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, which, of course, is 9 o'clock Eastern time. And it's the same day of the month every month, hopefully so you can remember and so you can tell your friends and invite anybody who you know might need some midweek uplifting, whatever I said, bleh. Got tongue-tied there for a second. I've been baking all day, so...
why have you been baking?
It is our little grandson's first birthday today.
Yeah.
Christian Sutton Sinclair is 1 year old today, and our daughter Christina and our son-in-law Chad are having a little outdoor birthday party in a park by their house or their apartment tomorrow, so... being the nutritionist that I am, I made a birthday cake and a bunch of cupcakes, the regular size and then the smaller ones. And you won't believe what was in this cake.
Christina asked you to make it, first
yes,
of all.
Yes, Christina gave me the recipe. But anyway, it smells really good in our kitchen. We're sitting at our kitchen table. I've had a great day. It's one of those things, I think baking, I'm not really a baker, I'm a cook, but it's been really great. It's therapeutic because you have to pay attention. You have to measure ingredients. You can't guess. And let me tell you, with this recipe, I was just sort of crossing my fingers, saying a prayer, because until I tasted one of the little teeny miniature cupcakes, I made extras so I could taste it, so know if I was going to serve anything bad. Anyway, until that time, I was kind of worried, but it turned out.
You're concerned about that.
It turned out really well. So,
but if you're following the recipe, it's not your fault if it goes bad.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I just say, Christina, I'm sorry.
This is the recipe you asked for. Sorry, babe.
I know. They tell you never to try a new recipe for the first time, though, on guests.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this evening, we will pray together. Robert already said this, read scripture. And the best news yet is we have a special guest. I think I mentioned last month,
yep,
or the month before, we're going to try to get our son, Pastor Bobby Schuller, with us. And he will be joining us here in about 10 minutes. He's going to be joining us. We're going to talk about his new book, Happiness According to Jesus.
I like it.
Yeah, it's a good title.
Yeah. Well, since we talked last, we had a funeral service for my father. I don't know if any of you were able to attend. I know that I had many people come to me before the service started, actually, and they said, we flew in from such and such, and somebody else came up to me and said, we flew in from such and such. Somebody else said that. I had that about 10 times, and after hearing that several times, I couldn't handle it anymore, and I just broke down and cried and wept for about an hour before the service started. And
you didn't think he'd be able to talk. He was pretty broken up, which, you know, you can understand. It was his father, Daddy.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was very challenging for me to be able to stand up there and speak, but I did, and I talked about how how, you know, the memorial service is actually in the courtyard between the three major buildings that my father built: the Crystal Cathedral, the Arboretum, which was the first building that my, or sanctuary that my father built with Richard Neutra, and then the final building, the Visitor Center, which was built and designed through Richard Meyer. And so we sat in the courtyard in between these three buildings, and my opening sentence was that I'm not looking at the buildings, I'm looking beyond the buildings. I was looking at the tall trees that my father and I had planted when I was but 5 years old. We would go to the nursery, and we get the cheapest plants we could find, which of course would be the 1 gallon pine trees and the 1 gallon cypress trees, and they were about a dollar a piece. I remember them being a dollar, and I was thinking, golly, that's inexpensive. But they're so small; they weren't any bigger than I was, and I was like, oh. Let me see. Actually, we planted those in like 63, so I would have been 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old. And we planted all these trees, and as we stood in the courtyard, I could see these massive trees now extending above the buildings. And I looked at those, and I remembered the times that I spent with my father planting all of those trees. And I went on to talk about all the wonderful memories and times that I spent with my father fishing around the world, and doing different projects together, and that he taught me, the best thing he taught me was how not just to fish for people, not just fish for fish, but to fish for people. And as Jesus said it, be a fisherman of men. And so he spent a lifetime doing that, and I had the privilege of spending countless hours in doing all of the above. So anyway, that was my father's memorial service, which was on April 20. And then Don and I left to go down to the tip of Baja California, a place called Puerto Los Cabos, to a little community called La Playita. And we went there and we spent a few days in rest and recovery and meeting with our gathering community down there. And just had a wonderful time being able to just recuperate, because it was very emotional and trying and difficult time for us as we prepared for that service. A lot of emotions and a lot of things to think about, as I'm sure many of you could understand and probably have experienced and know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we have a new project, as if we don't have enough projects. We have a new project that I'm really excited about, and it is a new monthly newsletter, and we are working on the very first one now, and we expect to have it done very soon. So if you would like a copy of this newsletter, you can sign up at our website, robertschillerministries.org, and on the front page there is an opportunity for you to give us your email. And if you do that, then we can send you our newsletter, and it'll be sent to your inbox as soon as we finish the first one, which will be coming, and then from then out, we'll do it once a month. So that'll be happening soon. Then, guess what? Don and I are actually exploring. I'm not sure we can say we're planning, but we're exploring. Would you say that would be a good word, Donna? Exploring?
Absolutely, yes.
Exploring the thoughts of doing a Holy Land trip. When was the last time we were in the Holy Land? Do you recall?
I couldn't believe it. It's been 5 years.
Long? Wow.
5 years. Mm-hmm.
Through the 70s, I went 2 or 3 times a year to the Holy Land. And then Don and I, since we've been married, have been there 4 or 5 times. And it's, without question, one of the most amazing places on planet Earth. People have asked me if I could go anywhere I wanted to do, and all the travel I've had, what would be the one place I would go to if you had to start all over again, knowing what you've done and where you've been? And without hesitation, without thought, it's absolutely positively, without question, the Holy Land. Donna, you've done as much traveling as I have. Would you do the same thing, right?
Yes, the Holy Land, the most fascinating place on earth for many, many reasons. So if anybody's interested, please let us know. We're going. There's no obligation, of course, but we are taking a, you know, we're starting to collect names and taking a tentative list on who might be interested, and we'll make our decisions soon, probably in the next month or so, and it'll be in 2016. So you've got time, but just think about it and pray about it. And if you're at all interested, please let us know.
Well, you know, you stop and think about what makes the Holy Land unique. The lowest place on planet Earth is in the Holy Land. The three major religions are in the Holy Land. You sit there and you walk on these steps where Christ walked, and you know that you're walking where Jesus Christ walks. It makes the Bible come alive. It's absolutely amazing.
I'm kind of happy I'm reading something from the Sermon on the Mount tonight.
Yeah, do that.
Words of Jesus. I've got a few more things to tell them about. Our gathering at Puerto Los Cabos continues to be a great group of people. We have outreach to the community. There's people that come together there on Sunday when we're there. And we also have a Friday night Bible study and home study group that we've been invited to attend, and we do that when we're down there. So things are really growing, and God is moving in a big way down there. For those of you that were with us last month, you probably heard me say they're planning a first-time ever revival meeting, a huge, big Christian revival meeting in the whole San Jose del Cabo area. So stay tuned, and we'll let you know about that. Robert and I are still working on our Philippines trip, and it's coming along in November sometime. We'll be doing a mission trip down there. And I want to say a very special thank you to somebody. I don't know that he's on this call or not, but we have a man, Bill Hine, who has been helping us. He not only is cleaning up a lot of our internet faux pas, our social networking that has, you know, become like a full-time job for me practically. And I
doing it all yourself, and you haven't been trained.
No, I'm not good at IT and search engine optimization. And I'm a nutritionist. I like to help people get well and stay well. So anyway, if anybody knows Bill Hine or if Bill Hine's listening, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. He's actually helping come up with a template, and he's helping me size the photographs because I don't know how to do that. And it's like one more thing
you're
I have to
learn.
You're
talking about the newsletter.
Yes, the photographs of the newsletter. Thank you, Robert. I'm trying to get through to the scripture because I'm looking forward to it. Now, I want to say, too, remember to take notes during the time. Bobby's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes here, and I will welcome him. Robert will, actually, when he comes on the line. But I'm going to read a scripture from Matthew 5. And also remember to key in star 6. So that at the end of this call, you can get in the in line to ask questions of Bobby or of Robert or of myself, or we'd love to hear your questions.
So as soon as you want to ask a question, press star 6 and you'll be in the queue.
You got it. So I'm going to read the words of Jesus from the Beatitudes, and like I said, I remember going to up to the site where he actually delivered these words, and it's so powerful to go there and actually sit in the site and to really, really think about, what these words mean. So at this point, I'm going to read, starting with verse 5, Matthew 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And we know that God will continue to bless the words in the Holy Bible.
Well, let's have a little prayer. We haven't had a prayer yet. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that you've given to us, these words of that remind us where joy and peace and happiness come from. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to shine in our lives and in our hearts in wonderful, beautiful ways. So we pray that you'll continue to bless each and every one of us, always and forever. Amen.
Amen. And I think that's good timing. I think I see Bobby on there. Robert, you want to take over from here?
Yeah. It was in 1981. A little boy was born, and it was July 31.
July 28th.
Close.
I wasn't even there, and I know the right day.
Well, you can't get them all right. You can tell I'm not using my notes and hadn't quite prepared for that one. But it was close enough. Anyhow, he was born, and he grew up to be an amazing man. I just recently posted a picture of him singing in the Crystal Cathedral. Here's this little boy, he's like 8 years old, and I've watched the video recently. You can probably see it on TV. But I remember taking him to the practice the night before. I remember this vividly. And here he is singing with a full orchestra. And it's hard to sing with a full orchestra. A lot of professionals, adults, have a very difficult time singing with a whole orchestra. And so the first take, Bobby sat up there, and he just sang his little heart out. And the orchestra stopped and applauded him afterwards. They were just astounded that this little 8-year-old kid did it the first time perfectly. And I said, and I commented to him, I said, weren't you afraid? He goes, afraid? Why should I be afraid? It's just people.
Exactly. I was there too. It was amazing.
And I'm just
it was
going,
also Johnny
whoa.
Carl conducting too. I mean, he was an amazing conductor. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. Well, he used to arrange all of the music for the Hour of Power, and without exception. And the reason for that was every single song had to be under 3 minutes. So in order to do that, they had to be all edited, and all the scores needed to be done for the orchestra. And Johnny did all of that all the time. So it was a full-time job that he had, just editing all his music. It's no wonder he became so good. He put in his time. He put in his 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bobby, you have a new book out. What's the title of your book?
Well, first, I'm glad to be back on with you guys. And it's always fun being on, you know, on the air or on there, on the call with your parents. But
yeah,
we like it. Yeah, so I wrote a book on the Sermon on the Mount called Happiness According to Jesus. And the book is basically, I originally wrote the manuscript as something to give to new believers, because I felt like we had a lot of new people that were coming to faith that said, you know, I made a decision to become a follower of Jesus. Now what do I do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes there's not like a manual in that, you know. The early church used to have one. It was called the Didache, and it sounded a lot like the Sermon on the Mount. And my thought was, why don't we have a sort of Didache for our generation? And so I wrote a commentary essentially on a Sermon on the Mount, sent, you know, framing that this is the way the Christian life ought to look. And And that if you live this kind of life, it's a promise of a full, happy kind of life. And so I call it Happiness According to Jesus.
That's awesome, Bobby. By the way, earlier, we always have a scripture reading, and I read the Sermon on the Mount this evening, getting ready for your for the interview with you. So just so you know,
yeah.
I read it.
Well,
it's
you
great.
Only read a portion of it.
Yeah, a portion. I read the Beatitudes.
Yeah. Yeah,
now,
great.
I understand you found the audio version of my father reading the Sermon on the Mount. Is that correct?
Yeah, we pulled it from there was an original vinyl. I actually have one. You probably have one too somewhere, Dad.
No,
Grandpa,
I do not.
Well, I've got one. You can see it's great. And it was pulled from an Hour of Power. And I think you were the one that told me this. I had never seen it. And then a friend of mine who is a worship director at a Catholic church in Huntington Beach had one that he held on to for, gosh, like 20 years, something like that.
Exactly.
He gave it to me. And it's unopened. It's still wrapped in plastic. I said, gosh, I really want to open and actually listen to it. And so he took his original, he hasn't opened one, and he put it on a CD so I got to hear it. I thought, man, this is cool. It has like that vinyl kind of crackling sound to it. And, and it's
well,
grandpa.
If you opened up the one that it was never opened, it wouldn't have that crackly sound.
No?
The crackly sound comes from
scratches.
From scratches. That's the
oh,
way vinyl is. You wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, a brand new vinyl, the first time you play it with a really good needle and a really good turntable,
yeah,
will sound better than a CD.
Yeah, because it's analog. Sure.
Yep.
That makes sense.
They get scratched.
I've never thought of it. Yeah.
But all every right. time you play it, it degenerates.
Well, the one I heard was the scratches version, and believe it or not, I actually kind of thought it was cool, you know, because for me it's vintage.
Sure, exactly.
And so I heard Grandpa do the Sermon on the Mount. He would have been like 44, you know, I mean,
wow,
almost a young guy, you know.
Yeah.
He still
almost
sounded like an old man.
Guy. Yeah, it's 44
still looks like
young.
An old man.
No,
and it was
there
great.
Sooner than you realize.
What?
You're going to be 44 sooner than you realize. And
oh,
as soon as you hit 40, 40 is going to sound really young.
I know. I know that. I know. Well, anyway, he was 44, and it was great. You know, it's like in modern language. I think, again, you were the first one, Dad, that told me about it because, you know, I've always been a huge fan of the Sermon on the Mount. And so basically what we're doing is anybody who buys my book, which comes out June 9th, if they buy it before June 9th, they'll get like a tear-off that they can send in. They'll get a free copy of this, a CD version of the
awesome.
Of the audio version of him reading Sermon on the Mount. So it seems like a good kind of value add because the book is on the Sermon on the Mount.
Wonderful.
I love it. I love it. I think that's just really, really cool. Yeah, I remember he used to do it once a year, and I think he stopped doing that shortly after that after being on the Hour of Power, and it is a beautiful rendition of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah. Well, great.
So,
yeah, it sounds great. I mean, it's really fun because he does the, you know, it's weird. It's the Sermon on the Mount, but it's also in a, when I say modern language, it's a trick too because it's modern 70s language. So it's weird. That's part of what makes it kind of fun. It's like a modern rendition, but it's like a 70s or 60s modern rendition.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, it's nice. I've listened to it a couple times. It's really nice.
Well, do you know what my dad did is before there was a new King James, he actually took the King James and modernized it. So he still had much of the sentence structure, but he would take out the these and the thys.
Yeah.
And that's, so I can imagine how it is. It's been, I heard it numerous times, but it has been 40 years since I've listened to it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to listening to it again, hearing his voice do it.
Great. Yeah. It's neat. And there's a little organ behind it too, which adds to the drama.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
Yeah, exactly. I know. They always had the organ behind it.
Wow.
And the organ would make some crescendos and the like. I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it does. So coming back to your book on, do you start with the Beatitudes then?
Yeah, I start with the Beatitudes, and I actually disagree with Grandpa on his Beatitudes. I actually listened to some of his sermons. This is one place where I really think Grandpa got it wrong.
I love it. How so?
Like most pastors, most people teach that in the Beatitudes, that each Beatitude is like another Ten Commandment, you know, that you ought to be poor in spirit, you know, you ought to be merciful. And of course, with some of those, we ought to be merciful, right? But they would teach that poor in spirit, which is the first one, mean sort of like to be humble. But really in the context to be poor in spirit, a better translation might be spiritually bankrupt, meaning I don't know anything about religion. Blessed are the meek. I mean, that word for meek means someone who's like a doormat, someone who gets run over. Some of the more obvious ones would be like, blessed are those who mourn, right? So you wouldn't think of mourning as a like one of the eight commandments. And so one of the, Grandpa and I agree on a lot, but one of the areas that we might disagree with scholastically on this particular passage, we just said the Beatitudes are actually not commandments, but rather they're descriptions of people who are suffering. And so poor in spirit means somebody who feels like they're outside of God's people. You know, the meek are the doormats. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the Greek word there is dikaiosune, which can also be translated as justice. So if you hunger and thirst for justice, that means someone who, you know, was violated in some manner and the guy got away with it, you know. And so it's really describing a lot of his listeners. He's looking at the people. He's beginning his sermon by saying, blessed are you who, and you can, and Dallas Willard used to say, you know, you can, one of the great prayers you can pray is, blessed are the poor, blessed are the sick, blessed are the lonely. And by praying those things, you're actually saying that even though I'm lonely, even though I'm sick, even though I'm poor, I'm blessed because now the kingdom of the heavens is about to wash over me. Mm-hmm. And that's, so the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes are a declaration that even though you're suffering now, you're blessed because something great is about to happen to you. So the Beatitudes are actually an invitation to a new kind of kingdom life that's available right now. Mm-hmm. And actually that word blessed is the Greek word makarios, which really should be translated happy. In fact, in both the Hebrew, and you know this, Dad, but both in the Hebrew and the Greek, that word can be translated happy and often is in some of the newer translations. In the Message, Eugene Peterson wanted to translate Makarios as lucky, like lucky are the poor in spirit. And and Zondervan wouldn't let him do it because they thought of it as too sort of pagan a word.
Yeah.
So I think he did happy. But
that's
happier.
One place where you and your grandfather agreed. In fact, he wrote a book on the Beatitudes, and it was called The Be Happy Attitude.
Be Happy Attitudes, yeah.
And that's why we landed up naming our boat Be Happy.
Totally.
And yeah, it wasn't after a song.
I know.
Be happy, don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, I think what I'm most excited about in this book is the way you introduced it as sort of a book for new believers. Because to me, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'd like to consider myself a mature Christian. I'm a mature person in my 50s. I'm a mature Christian. Take that as you will. But I really love what you said about it's sort of like going to be a nice handbook for people because – really, the most important thing for a Christian is to learn about Jesus and to follow Jesus and to try to be more like Jesus every day.
Right.
I mean, it's not easy because Jesus is Jesus and we're human, but that's our goal. And so
Absolutely. That's
a wonderful thing that you'll be able to put this in the hands of people that are new believers because oftentimes, as you know, Bobby, it's so hard. You know, people will come and say, oh, well, where should we start in the Bible? You know, oh, my gosh, it's so negative in the Old Testament. Well, of course we want Christians to know all about the history and their roots and, you know, their Jewish roots in particular. But we also want them to learn about Jesus, and that's the most important message in being a Christian is to try to follow Jesus and to learn his ways and what does that mean. So that's the most exciting thing to me is it's happiness according to Jesus, not according to the world and not according to what we read, what we see on TV, or what people think about us or what people expect out of us. So I love that title.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, though, is it's a way of saying, you know, look, if you've, you know, we live in, the three of us, we live in Orange County. We live in the wealthiest county and the wealthiest state and the wealthiest country in the world, right? So we're surrounded by people who have been incredibly successful in life, and yet we're pastoring people who have lots of money, but many of them haven't found, you know, what they were promised. They felt like, well, if I build a great business or even a great nonprofit, or if I, you know, do really well in life, then I'm going to be happy. And there's kind of this confusion about, well, I've done these great things. Why am I not happy? And you have other people who were never able to achieve those things. And they think, well, if I, you know, accumulate great wealth or if I do these things, I'll be happy. And it's like, well, no, that's, you know, in Christianity, we want Christians to succeed. We want Christians to have money because money is power. We want good people to have the power, not bad people. But there's still a piece that it's like, well, power, which is money, isn't going to make you happy, right? I mean, it's you know, give you a lot of responsibility, and it's good that you have it, but the only way you're going to be happy is if you follow Jesus' way of living, which he spells out in three easy chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And so, you know, that's why I felt like if people, you know, if Christians took, I'm Dutch Reformed, you know, so I'm not a Mennonite, but I still feel like if pastors and Christians really took the Sermon on the Mount seriously, we would just see so much happiness and joy. I mean, Jesus gives a lot of just practice. It's just basically wisdom from Jesus about our daily living, about why money won't make us happy, and why we ought to stop worrying, and why we can trust God, and why we ought to not hurry, and what do we do with anger, and why we should stop wearing masks and stop pursuing vanity. It's really a great model for how to live a happy life.
We take questions here. I think you remember that. So I'd like to open up the questions right now. Is that a good time, Bobby? You don't mind? We can continue to talk. But I think it'd be kind of interesting to get some more feedback from some of the people that are listening tonight. So, again, if anybody would like to ask a question, just enter the star and then 6, and you'll be in the queue. And I will. And there's already one here. So I'm going to take this, Bobby, and we'll see who this is for. Okay, there's 2 questions actually so far.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there. Guess who?
Grandma Linnell, Bobby.
Well, I just want to say this is so wonderful having all 3 of you on there tonight. And last Sunday, I did watch Bobby sing on the Hour of Power when he was 8 years old. So I was so excited, I cried.
Oh,
anyway,
I cried when I saw it because I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
and now
me
you're,
too.
Now he's a big cheer pastor.
Well, Bobby, Grandma, since you were 2 years old, I love you dearly. You're doing a wonderful job, and I am so happy that you're there with your mom, your stepmom, and your dad tonight. But also, I am so happy about the upcoming trip to Jerusalem, or the Holy Land, because that was my greatest trip I've ever had, even though my husband is a captain with American Airlines, and we've flown all over. That was the greatest trip that I've ever, ever had. But I'm looking forward to your happiness according to Jesus' book, Bobby. That sounds wonderful. And the Beatitudes I've always liked, and I like the different descriptions of the Beatitudes, because being an old Southern Baptist, those were preached into us years ago. Anyway, I love you all. Thank you for tonight. It's a wonderful call. Bye.
Thank you, Linnell. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Grandma.
Hey, Bobby, you didn't have the privilege of listening in earlier, or you could have, but I told you didn't have to. So I announced that Dad and I are thinking about, we're just playing with the idea that we might be taking a trip to the Holy Land. We haven't been in 5 years. So I announced earlier tonight and just said if anybody was interested to leave their name. And I think, you know, we had told you that we were thinking about doing that. So that's what that was all about.
Absolutely.
We have a call there, don't we, Donna?
We have a couple more questions here. Okay, we have, let's see. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Judy Brusso.
Hello, Judy.
I've emailed Bobby several times, and Donna, I'm the one that told you that your Facebook came out 4 times.
Thank you.
Well, it's better having it come out 4 times than not at all.
Exactly, exactly. And I told her I read it 4 times, so.
Well, good. Well, I'm sorry. People probably thought I was bugging. Yeah, something about my posting from YouTube to Facebook now, and it never was showing up. It must have just taken that long. And then.
Right. I think there's something going on with Facebook lately anyway. But anyway, I just wanted to know, is there a video of the memorial service?
Dad, you want to answer that?
Yeah, you can answer that, Bobby. I'll answer as best I can. Maybe you know more than I do, but I know that it was videotaped, but I don't know whether they're going to make that available or not.
Okay.
I've heard they are.
Yeah.
I don't know when or how. The unfortunately, the audio throughout the service was terrible, so I don't know.
Could have been windy, too.
Yeah, it was, and so I don't know whether how effective it's going to be or what's going to happen.
Okay, I just didn't know if I had missed it because they were talking about doing it. So,
well, you know, the service itself too. It was a good service. I think the highlights were Pastor Dan and Pastor Tony. Their reflections. Mm-hmm. I really liked what you said, Dad. It was very moving. You know, there wasn't, I don't know, we're doing at Shepherd's Grove, and we're
at Shepherd's
Grove. At Shepherd's Grove at our church.
Oh, yeah.
The former Crystal Cathedral Congregation. We're doing a tribute concert to the life of Dr. Schuller on Father's Day, and we're going to be recording that and making that available to everyone who wasn't able to be at the memorial service.
Oh, okay, because so I'm not going to be there till July, so.
Well, we'll have both a DVD and this audio CD.
Okay.
Dad, I think you're going to be there. I know you're going to be invited. I don't know if you've accepted the invitation yet.
I don't know.
But,
have you been invited?
I'll do everything I can to be there.
Yeah.
Father's Day,
I'll be there.
Yeah, Father's Day.
Yeah, so my dad and Donna should be there. My parents should be there.
That's great.
And, we're going to film it, and there'll be a lot of music and some of – my grandpa's old friends will be there. It'll be, and we're going to make it really nice for all of you.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Just to have it available for everyone. Yeah.
Yep. Very good. And I can't wait to get your book, Bobby. It sounds wonderful.
Oh great. Thank you.
So, okay, I'll let you guys go so somebody else can have a turn.
I've got a couple more here. They're waiting patiently. Thank you so much, Judy. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
We have. Hang on here. Uh-oh, I have...
Did you hang up on somebody?
No, I don't think so.
Good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I was waiting for... Somebody was here. Silas Radio, I know who that is. Can you please push *6 again? Maybe I did accidentally cut people off. I think I did that last week. I didn't do that for 2.5 years. Oh, here we go. Let me try it again. Hello.
How are you?
You there? Sorry, Steve.
Oh, shoot. You know who it was.
Yeah, I knew who that is. I should have said anything. I normally don't call people out, but I know you don't mind. So.
Steve Nortier. I'd recognize that voice anywhere.
Yes.
Oh, gee, great. I was hoping that we would be able to, if you're going to do that on Father's Day, I just wondered if Bobby's going to sing his song again.
Yeah, Bobby. Bobby.
We will plan that. But you could still sing it right now if you wanted to, couldn't you? You remember every word.
I'd kind of like to see him in that white suit again. I think that would be really kind of cool.
I don't know if it would fit.
But you can get another one.
No, but I know who could sing that. Haven could sing it. Maybe a couple of
That's what I was thinking.
That would be great if Haven sang that song. Oh, I'd love that.
She could sing that.
And it wouldn't be scratchy either, so it would be kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Just want to say hi. Love you all very much. And looking forward to this book that's coming out. And, of course, looking forward to Israel. And it's just good to be home, but it's also kind of I miss my Schuller time. So I had a wonderful evening the other night with y'all, and things are just looking up. And Beatitudes is a great study. And I think Grandma Nell was right, because Southern Baptists were driven into their minds, hearts, and souls, the Beatitudes, and it hasn't really been kind of talked about until you brought it back up. So it's a good thing to listen to, and I'm looking forward to getting my book, too. I love y'all, and I'll sign off.
Okay,
thank
see
you.
You later,
Steve. We have,
thanks,
we
Steve.
Have, well, thank you, Steve. We have two more questions
well,
here.
You know, we have more than just the Beatitudes. This is the Sermon on the Mount, which starts with the Beatitudes. Then it goes into you are the salt of the earth. It goes through why do you worry? A lot of stuff. It's magnificent. But you have another question.
Yeah,
have another
I have two
question
more questions here.
Yeah.
So I want to. One of them's been waiting a while because I disengaged them accidentally. Okay, hello. It's a man that I'm. That's on.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, it's Ed from Minnesota.
Yes. Hi, Ed. How
hey.
Are you?
Hello,
I'm,
Ed.
I'm looking forward to the book too, and I have kind of a question that's a little bit off that topic, but I hear the term like rest in peace. And I've kind of read some books on, like, Heaven is for Real, where this boy died and came back and talked about, you know, being in heaven. And, you know, it's kind of like from these different books about near-death experiences, like people, as soon as they die, they're in heaven, you know. And when I hear this rest in peace, that makes me feel like people are going to rest. I'm not sure what that means when you rest, you know, what that term means.
Who would you like to answer that? Which one of the pastors? you want to give it a go first, Bobby?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure,
Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby.
I mean, rest in peace originates with the idea that of a strong emphasis on the resurrection of the dead. And so a lot of that theology has been lost in a bit of modern Christianity. But the early church, you know, they didn't really look forward to heaven, like going to heaven when they die. I mean, they did. That was awesome, but that would have been more of a temporary place while they were looking really forward to the resurrection of the dead, which would have been the big piece of the coming of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And so when you look in the Bible, you never see heaven and hell grouped together. It never says heaven and hell. The two words that are really grouped together are heaven and earth. And so there's this idea that someday heaven and earth will be joined together, you know, in some distant aeon when Christ returns, and that the dead in Christ will be raised from the dead. And so the idea is that there is a part of the person that is in requiem, a Latin word for rest. And so requiem in pace, which sounds a little different in Latin, meaning literally means rest in peace in English. But requiem in pace means that you're sort of in a restful place of peace or waiting. And so it doesn't mean necessarily that you're asleep. It means that you're in heaven awaiting the coming of Jesus to earth. And so... so rest in peace originally comes from that Latin requiem in pace, and that's probably why very often we and so the, there's some Christian traditions that actually think when you die you don't go to heaven, you actually go into what they call a soul sleep. That's not something we endorse in the Reformed Church. We believe that Christians simply go to heaven to be with Jesus and await their return to earth. But for example, the Adventists and other different traditions think that it's sort of like when you die, you sort of fall asleep, and then when Jesus returns, you sort of come back to life to live in heaven on earth. So that's a short nutshell version.
Okay.
The Catholics
does it help?
That too, I think, right?
No, I mean, no, Catholics don't believe in soul sleep, but every Christian believes in resurrection of the dead. It is a part of the Apostles' Creed and Nicene Creed. So we believe in that Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead. So every Christian should believe that someday Jesus will return and he will raise those who have died to new life in a new age that exists on planet Earth where heaven and earth are one. But Catholics, like most Christians, believe that, you know, if one of us was to die today, that our body would be put in the ground, but our spirit would go to be with Christ and with our ancestors in heaven while we await the coming of the kingdom of God on earth.
Okay. Thank you.
Very, very helpful.
I'm going to go to the next caller here. Okay, Ed, nice to talk to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
It is a woman who's been waiting a while here. Hello.
Hi, Bobby. This is Bob Bosco. I'm an elder usher, Monday meal dishwasher at church. And I just want to say that I'm so glad the feeling has changed. I'm so proud of all of you. I love you. But I also would like to know, what have you got in mind for our future? New building? Same building?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things I've learned about our future is that it's a fantastic future, though I don't know exactly what it is. I think right now God is sort of teaching Shepherd's Grove to be to focus more on being a community than being a building. And I think when once we have in our very DNA that we don't need a building, I sort of feel like that will be the time when God sort of supernaturally provides the place that we go to. I don't think that the current facility will be where we will be forever, but I do think we have at least 2, 3, 4 more years there. And I think right now is the time to really focus on growing the congregation, on growing the hour power, and when the stronger we get there, the more doable a new place will be.
Okay,
so,
good. I'm
in
the lower echelon, you know. I'm not.
Yeah.
I say lower echelon. I mean, I'm more with the people who are the worker bees, and
sure.
I hear so much, you know. And
yeah.
I have prayed for you to be our pastor ever since 1999.
Wow.
So,
thank you. Wow.
When we were in the Holy Land, so I've been praying a long time, and I said, God, if it happens, fine, but I don't want anybody hurt, and unfortunately, that didn't happen. So sometimes I even feel guilty.
Oh, no. No, great things are happening, and I'll tell you what,
I didn't expect it to happen the way it did, I'll tell you.
Sure.
But anyhow, I love our church, and I feel so alive there now. And feel, you know, I do everything I can in my little way to keep things going and try to get rid of the criticisms and and the things that we don't like in our Christian walk. But I am on your side, all of you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Diana. You know what? There's two other people that have been waiting for a minute, so I'm going to get to them now. But thank
Bye.
You so much. Good to talk
Bye-bye.
To you. Bye-bye.
And let me just say one quick thing, too, about
sure,
that.
Sure.
I mean, you know, for everybody that's listening, I mean, there wouldn't be a Shepherd's Grove if it wasn't for what my parents did. I mean, Robert Anthony and Donna Schuler, I mean, just built such a great legacy through Legacy Gift. And one of the strongest times in the ministry, probably the strongest time, was the last year my dad was there. And I just feel like I get a lot of credit for a lot of stuff that that they did, especially having you guys on the phone. I don't know if you want to comment, but I just feel like so important to know that. And one of the reasons we're still afloat are because of the great strides that you guys took to make sure there would be Legacy Gift and that there and that you know you really the ministry was really strong. And anyway, I feel like we're still benefiting from some of that. So,
well, thank you, Bobby.
Nice. Next caller, let's see. There's a wireless caller here. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Donna. Robert, just Jack Craig calling from Indiana.
Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, last question for Bobby. I've had a lot of time to reflect over the history of the ministry recently just because of your passing of your grandfather.
Yeah.
And over the last 6 years since you, Robert, left the Crystal Cathedral, it caused me to reexamine the position of the church, especially in the high-profile Protestant denominations. But I got to thinking about your grandfather, and he had the luxury, I think, of realizing that the Orange County and the country itself were kind of a mirror of each other during the time that the ministry flourished at its highest. So that his message, to me, helped build a strong local church, and at the same time, the same message helped build a strong television ministry. Now, I don't live out there, and I'm not that, you know, because of the diversity of the population of Orange County and all that. Do you see now that you are the days of the mega church as far as maybe Shepherd's Grove are over, where you will take a smaller group of people and have a greater impact around the world, and therefore the development of large numbers locally may not be as important? Do you see it that way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, and I hope I understand your question right, I think that super huge, super big is not as cool as it used to be, for sure. I was just talking to a pastor who has a church, something like 18,000 in where was it, Kentucky. And that was the first line. He said, you know, big isn't cool anymore. He was saying, you know, it's these medium-sized churches that seem to be where the majority of Christians sort of want to find their faith. And it's hard, you know, to think in terms of a huge megachurch. It's hard to think of how to create a deep sense of
community. And so when you talk about outreach, when you've got television and the internet available to you, I mean, when you think about the millions of people that are watching The Hour of Power, it's literally a sea of people that are engaging through multimedia. And the world continues to move in that direction where all sorts of podcasts, sermons, worship music styles, and then the ability to play those at top-notch sound quality, that's available to people all over the world now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's answering your question, but is that what you basically you're saying? Is are we moving away from the megachurch?
Do you know what, Bobby? I think you're right on. One of the things I did before we left the Crystal Cathedral, I was in the process of starting and we're creating Houses of Power. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but what the Houses of Power were designed to do was to gather people who watch The Hour of Power together, watch The Hour of Power, or read the chapter in my book. My last three books were designed for the Houses of Power. And so what it was a year's worth of sermons in a book on a particular topic, and then my sermon was going to follow the book, and then the chapter in the book would be similar to the sermon. So if people wanted to read the book, they wouldn't feel left out if they didn't hear the sermon. And then at the end of each chapter were small group discussions. And so what we were doing is bringing people together to be the people, the living cathedral as opposed to just the Crystal Cathedral. And so that's how I was dealing with the mega church and the whole mega concept of not being cool by creating small communities where people are still connected.
Yeah, that was a dynamic program you guys had, and we still have actually a number of Houses of Power that are still sort of meeting around the country, which
That's
is amazing.
Good.
And I piggybacked off of your coattails on almost everything, but on especially this. We've started writing planned out all of my sermons a year in advance, and I write a curriculum that goes with each sermon series that's designed for any kind of small group, whether it's in the church or on TV, and we align it in lockstep and give it away with the TV program. I think you were just dead on.
That's a wonderful thing. That's
good
awesome.
Idea.
But, I mean, it wasn't my idea. It was your idea. I mean, the idea that you have TV and people can gather around the TV set as a small group or even a house church.
Exactly.
It's brilliant.
House churches.
Exactly.
We have two more questions, and we're running out of time. We have seven minutes, and we have two questions. So we can take two quick questions here. Please make them quick, and then we have a couple more things to say, and we'll be done. So two questions. I don't know. It's area code 510. Hello.
Hi, I'm Susan from the Bay Area, and I just have a couple quick comments. Hi.
Hi,
first of all, I wanted to let Bobby know that I really like the direction that the Hour of Power is going very much. I very much liked both your grandfather and your father, and I'm very happy that you have this curriculum available that you have now, and I love that you have your services online.
Yeah.
Then the next thing, I'm trying to go fast, so I'm kind of...
No problem.
Thank you.
The next thing is... that I like that your services are very inclusive of all people. For example, I'm a scientist, and I believe there's room for a person to be a scientist and a Christian at the same time, that they're not opposed
Absolutely.
To each other. And yet I hear a lot of that kind of thing among some of the fundamentalist neighbors that I have, that, you know, one is diametrically opposed to the other. And I just want to say that in my life there have been a lot of problems that I've kind of weathered most of the storms by now. But, you know, if I had felt excluded, you know, I don't know where I would have gone, but I am really feeling very comfortable with your ministry because you do include everyone. And I do feel very close to your ministry and have for 20 years. So I'm really, actually since probably the mid-70s, so maybe I'm not counting right. And the last
That's
thing
nice.
I wanted to say is that I'm really excited for your new book, and I already have it pre-ordered. And I hope that I'll get to come down to some services again sometime soon.
Well, if you ever come down, I always am there after the second service. I love to meet people. But on that note, I don't know if you're familiar with Francis Collins' group called Biologos, of which I'm now a part. There's a small group of gathering of scientists and theologians who take a scientific view but are also dedicated, sort of Bible-believing Christians. And we actually have a gathering in San Francisco the first week of October in which we're going to be meeting about science and religion. And so when we're talking about many of these things, you're talking about the way in which so many things have been, it's kind of like we have to be one or the other, and we're just finding, well, the biblical witness does not say that at all. And so anyway, check out Biologos on YouTube. I think it's something you'd be really interested in.
That's awesome, Bobby. That's great. We have one more question here. I'm going to take it right now from area code 605. Hello?
Hey, it's Tim calling from South Dakota, just a hop, skip, and a jump from your grandfather and your father.
Well, hello.
Hi, Tim.
Your dad actually changed my life when I lived in California in the 80s. I wanted to state that, and then I also heard the previous, two callers ago talking about mega churches, and
yep.
I think it doesn't really matter whether it's a mega church or a small church. I know Bobby was on with Joel Osteen a while back, and
yep.
I've been to Joel's church a few times, and he's absolutely some of the nicest people you ever meet in that congregation. But to the point,
yeah.
I'll get to what I wanted to ask about. As I watch Bobby on the Internet, I love the old hymns that you do in the choir, and I produce a lot of contemporary Christian shows, secular shows, radio and TV out here. And I wondered what you think is where's music going in your opinion? Is it the contemporary or the hymns? Because I sure miss the hymns. I'll shut up and just listen.
Thank you, Tim. Nice to meet you. And join us again on one of our calls. We meet on the 15th of every month. Okay, I'll let Bobby say something.
Well, one of the funny things is that we have two services, a contemporary and a traditional service. And the contemporary service is the one that's currently we're actually struggling with. But the traditional service, we actually just don't have enough room for it. So many of churches have gone to contemporary that there's such a niche now for really good traditional music that is real. There's been a lot of muscle and money and effort put into that. We're one of the few left that still does it really well, so we attract people that want that. And I think that a lot of people who are asking the question, is contemporary or traditional the future, are actually asking the wrong question. The right question is quality music or lack of quality music going to win? And I think that, when you ask it that way, that's what matters. It's all about music.
And the answer is obvious when you ask it that way.
It's obvious. That what's going to be mattering in the future as, because millennials, especially my generation, now love all styles of music. And as the freedom of information continues to flow through the Internet, people will have their own preference for music. And what it will ultimately come down to is whether or not the music is wonderful, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And if your church focuses on creating a big budget for music, if it's wonderful music, it doesn't matter if it's contemporary, if it's traditional, if it's bluegrass, if it's Celtic, whatever it is that you do, if it's excellent, people are going to come and want to hear it, no matter what the preference is, especially if it has a heart of worship at the middle of it. God will honor that.
A heart of worship in the middle. Thank you, Bobby. Well, this has been a wonderful hour for us today, and I want to thank everyone for coming. And as part of this is a worship service for us, and as part of a worship service, what we do is we take an offering. And the way we take an offering is we simply ask people to go to our website, SchulerMinistries.org, and click on the donate button, and you'll have an opportunity to make your donations and give your offerings. And if you want to do it the traditional way by sending a check, you can do so by sending your donation to Robert Schuller Ministries, 919 Bayside Drive, Unit E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. Let me repeat that one more time. Robert Schuller Ministries, 919 Bayside Drive, Unit E3, Newport Beach, California, 92660. So...
we just want to thank those of you that have kept us going. You've kept us going emotionally and spiritually and physically with your tithes and offerings. And we have a lot of different projects locally and internationally. So remember, you can write to us if you have any questions about what we're doing and where our ministry is going. You can write to Robert at SchulerMinistries.org. or Donna at SchulerMinistries.org. And we just want to tell you how much we appreciate you. And those of you that help us every month know who you are, and just know that we really, really love you and we appreciate you. Please join us next month, June 15th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, same place, and we will be looking forward
because
to talking
to you. Because if it's the 15th,
we're
at
here.
6 p.m.
Yep.
Pacific time.
We're here.
This is the place to be. Just call us and join us, and we look forward to next week. Bobby, hey, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Just want to say thank you very, very much for being on the call today. We appreciate it more than
we sure
ever
do.
Know.
We sure do. It's been a great hour. And Robert, you want to tell them about the MP3 and all that, or you want me to?
Go ahead.
I have an MP3 available. I copy these. I record these, I should say. And so if you'd like a copy of this call, please write to me, Donna, at SchulerMinistries.org, and I will get that to you. I know people have been asking me, including you, Bobby, why don't I have this on a podcast? I should. I have 2.5 years' worth with some incredible guests. And it's just a matter of just not having the time because I do lots of IT stuff and social media stuff for our ministry. And it's just, we're a ma and pa organization. It's just Robert, myself, and one volunteer who's come on within the last 6 to 8 weeks, which has been amazing. He's helping me with, you know, some postings and things like that. But it's a very... it's tough to do it on your own. So anyway, if anybody wants to volunteer to help with podcasts, I welcome the help. So anyway, with that, we just want to tell you that we're here on the 15th of every month, again, 6 p.m. Pacific, and we look forward to this call next month.
Yep. So until then, remember that God is blessing you always through all things. God loves you. So do we. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.